Welcome to Bible Project Podcast. In today's episode, we begin the Sermon on the Mount looking at the very first word of the sermon. It's the word blessed. And with me is co-host Michelle Jones. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, John.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, too. Michelle, would you say you are blessed?
Well, that depends. What do you mean by that? I mean, it's not a word that comes with a lot of baggage, but I feel like it's one of those words that's lost its weightiness.
Yeah. In fact, I've stopped using that word.
Really?
Yeah, because I just don't really know what it means, so I've just shied away from it, which feels awkward because it's such a biblical word.
Yeah, pretty much the biblical word other than amen.
Right. What you're going to notice with our translation of Sermon on the Mount is we messed with this word. We don't begin the translation with blessed are those who. We translate it, the good life is for those who.
Why did you mess with such a common translation?
Exactly. That's what today's episode is all about. What did Jesus mean when he said blessed?
Well, I'm going to send you away to talk to Tim about that.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us.
Here we go.
Here we go. We're getting into it. These are the blesseds, the nine blesseds.
Yes.
Should we just read them?
Let's read them.
Let's read them. Okay. NIV.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Yep. The nine... I was going to call them the nine blessings, but my goal in the next 30 minutes is to kindly convince you that the word blessing does not at all communicate what Jesus was trying to say.
I don't even think I fully know what blessing means.
Yeah.
The closest I got, we're doing a video series on the royal priest, and we've got this whole setup about how Adam and Eve in Eden are like priests in the cosmic temple, and there's abundance. They walk with God. There's enough for everyone. They are meant to rule, that is, organize their lives in such a way that there's flourishing.
Yeah.
And then you have a line where you say, all of this,
this whole setup.
Package,
yeah,
this is the blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a Hebrew word, blessing, I'm imagining.
Yeah, the verb is barek.
Barek.
The noun is bercha.
Is that the word at play here?
No.
Oh.
That's why I just said over the next 30 minutes, my goal is to persuade you that the word blessed or blessed is totally unhelpful here. Yeah.
You're going to walk me through it?
I'm going to walk you through it. Here are the key questions that I have come to appreciate the most in unpacking what Jesus is doing in these nine sayings. First of all, what's the Greek word in Matthew's gospel? And what is the Hebrew or Aramaic word?
Oh, because he spoke Aramaic.
That Jesus said that has been translated here into Greek. Okay, let's remember this.
Yeah.
This is going to be really important multiple times. The Sermon on the Mount, the only form we have it in is in Greek, in Matthew's gospel.
Yes.
However, it's a summary of what Jesus went around saying in Aramaic.
Because he spoke Aramaic. And why did he speak Aramaic?
Because that's the language of the day up in Galilee. And down in Jerusalem.
But he would have also been fluent in Hebrew.
But it's a cousin language to its cousin Semitic language,
okay,
which is Hebrew,
okay,
which wasn't spoken as much as it was the language of their sacred traditions.
Right. They would read the Hebrew Bible in Hebrew.
They would read the Hebrew Bible in Hebrew, and there were Aramaic translations.
And Greek translations.
And Greek translations, and spoke Aramaic. So anybody who grew up in a bilingual context gets this.
Right.
Some of your life use this, other parts of your life use that, and especially if they're very close languages,
yeah,
it's just a part of life. So what we're going to be doing is looking at often at the Aramaic or Hebrew words underlying the Greek words of Matthew's gospel to understand. So that's the first thing. What does this word mean? The Greek word that represents what Jesus says here, it's the Greek word makarios. Makarios.
Makarios.
Makarios. This is very difficult to know how to translate. It's the first word of the sermon. And it's repeated 9 times in this opening movement. So here are possible English renderings that get us around the idea. Oh, how fortunate. Oh, how happy. Oh, how flourishing. Oh, how blessed. Each one of those captures something of what Jesus is trying to get across. What's really fortunate for us, oh, how fortunate are we?
How blessed are we?
Because we know exactly where this word comes from and what it represents. So makarios is a standard Greek word used in the Greek Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures. And it consistently translates a Hebrew word used throughout the Psalms and the wisdom writings of the Hebrew Bible. And it's not the word blessing. It's the Hebrew word ashrei. So we're going to look at 2 examples of it that occur in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2.
Okay.
Almost all of our English translations are going to translate it blessed, which reveals our problem. So this is a problem not just in New Testament Greek. This is a problem in Old Testament Hebrew, how to render this word into English. So Psalm 1 begins, Ashrei is the one who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Rather, this one's delight is in the Torah of Yahweh, and on the Torah they meditate day and night. Oh, how ashrei is such a person.
That person is like a tree.
Yes, yes, planted by streams of water, perpetual fruit every season, no withering leaves. Everything this person does prospers. Without knowing, let's just pretend we don't know what ashrei means.
Okay. But the ashrei is someone who is not mixing it up with people who are trying to create evil and oppression in the world.
Yep.
But instead is someone who is delighting in God's instruction.
Yeah. Delights in the will of God revealed in the scriptures. But they're not just a bookworm.
And is a tree that doesn't adhere to the seasons.
Yeah, that's right. Counter to what you would think. It's a tree that's just constantly bearing fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the spring, it's bearing fruit. That makes sense. Yeah. Here comes the summer. Oh, more fruit. It's a bumper crop.
Yeah.
Here comes the fall. Right. Shouldn't the leaves be coming off? No, it's still bearing fruit.
Yes.
The winter comes. Shouldn't this tree be like dormant?
Right. But it's not. It just keeps bearing fruit. So that's Psalm 1. Here, let's quick look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2 paints a picture of all the nations of the earth and their kings who are violent, arrogant, corrupt, and at war with each other and against God. And God's response in Psalm 2 is, but I'm going to appoint a king who's going to bring justice to the land forever and ever. Amen. It's a king from the line of David. And the last line of Psalm 2 is, Ashrei, all those who take refuge in this king. So that's a little different than the flourishing tree person of Psalm 1.
Different in...
There's a whole world out there of violence and arrogance and chaos, but God's going to appoint a king.
That's like almost like how protected?
Yeah. To be ashrei by taking refuge in him means relates to security, stability, safety, not fruitfulness.
Got it.
And I'm not saying they're opposites. I'm just saying ashrei can describe both fruitfulness and abundance, which is typically a sign connected with blessing. But then here, it's protection, safety, and stability. And a person who's safe and stable, how ashrei is that person?
Okay, that's helpful.
So what kinds of people are ashrei, and who and when do you use this word? Ashrei appears 45 times in the Hebrew Bible. There's 45 people called ashrei. We should be able to get to the bottom of this.
That's a very manageable amount of times.
Totally. That's right. Yeah. 26 times in the Psalms, 8 times in the book of Proverbs. So you could say this word
is a wisdom literature word.
It's a word that comes from Israel's wisdom and song traditions. Mm. And its etymology comes from a word meaning prosperity, good fortune, happiness, flourishing.
Ashrei.
So here's some examples.
Okay.
When the queen of Sheba comes to Solomon with her big entourage, she spends some time in his courts, and after she's hung out there long enough, she says, Ashrei are your people. Ashrei are your officials who stand in your courts and get to hear your wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Solomon, it was a flourishing time.
Yes, totally. That's right. It's like gold was as common as whatever, something. I forget the line. As common as stones or something.
Hmm.
Just find a word.
Hmm.
A queen comes into the courts of a king, surrounded, all these courtiers, everyone's happy, there's enough food, safety. And she says, oh, how ashrei are all these people that they get to be a part of your kingdom.
Hmm. Okay. Maybe I can't think of a word. Maybe we need to bring it into a, because I just am never in that context.
Oh, okay. You don't stand in the courts of kings very often.
No, it hasn't happened. Can we really dumb this down and be like,
of course.
Hey, you remember when we were in Prineville and we went to that skate park across the street from the park our kids were playing in?
Yes, yeah.
And we were really impressed with the skate park.
Yes.
We're like, where did this thing come from?
Yeah.
Whoa, it's perfectly designed. Look, they've thought of everything. Like, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
Ashrei.
Ashrei are those kids over there who live here and get to skate in the skate park every day.
Yeah.
Yep. That's an appropriate use of ashrei.
Okay.
Yep. That's right.
Speaking of skate culture, you would call that being hooked up.
Totally. You got the hookup.
You got the hookup.
Yeah, the kids who live in Prineville got the hookup. Prineville, Oregon. It's a really amazing skateboard park. Okay, let's just talk about the ideas at work. In each of these examples, it's one person who's looking at the setup of another person.
Yeah.
The circumstances of another person.
Mm-hmm.
And saying,
that looks nice.
That's the good life.
Mm.
This is the Hebrew word you say when you want to hold up a certain set of circumstances. As somebody who's experiencing the good life.
Yeah. Everyone has their own version of the good life.
Yeah.
And if you made your creed, it would be Ashrei is the one, and then fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank.
What would be the Portland Ashrei? Ashrei is the one who has a cup of mild coffee in the morning.
Mild? Bright.
Bright?
This is third wave coffee town. It's berry forward.
Berry forward.
I don't know, whatever. Or Ashrei is the one who can work a three-quarter time job and then gig on the weekends and evenings.
Yes. Ashrei is the one who can eat amazing cuisine in your neighborhood.
Yep. Ashrei is the one who can drive 30 minutes to epic nature hikes.
Yeah.
Mountains.
Ashrei is the one who is 1 hour from surfing and 1 hour from snowboarding.
That's right. Yes, Ashrei.
There are a lot of different views about what it looks like to have the good life. In fact, right around the time of Jesus, there were many wisdom teachers talking about what the good life looked like. To read some of those wisdom teachers, I have with me Bible Project scholar Ben Tertin. Hi, Ben. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. You know, as I'm thinking about these biblical words, it's often really helpful to see how other folks were using the same word in texts from the same time frame.
So you're going to read for us a passage of a Jewish scribe written around the 2nd century BC.
Yeah, it's this super popular work called The Wisdom of Ben Sira. Sometimes it's titled Sirach or sometimes Ecclesiasticus.
Great. Let's read the passage.
Okay, so in chapter 25, he's going to repeat this word, ashrei, over and over. And it's really interesting. Listen here to what he says. He opens it up and he says, there are 9 whom I would call ashrei. 10, my tongue proclaims. Ashrei is the one who rejoices in his children. Okay, that's nice. How about ashrei is the one who lives to see the downfall of his enemies?
Whoa. Mm-hmm.
Ashrei is the man who lives with a reasonable wife. But Yeshua ben Sira had an exceedingly low view of female intelligence.
Oh, my gosh.
You picked that up through all of his writing. It's very clear. Here's one. Ashrei is the one who does not sin with his tongue. Ashrei is the one who never has to serve an inferior.
Wow.
I see your face grimace. You're like, whoa, hang on. Yeah, okay. He's saying this good life is for somebody who, as long as there's somebody who's always below you in status, you're Ashrei. Yeah, yeah.
You're golden.
Uh-huh. Ashrei is the one who finds a friend. Ashrei is the one who speaks and people listen attentively. Greatest is the one who finds wisdom, and none is superior than the one who fears Yahweh. All right?
Huh.
Uh-huh. It sounds different than the Proverbs, but there's some flavors, and it's real different than the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah? Yes, it sounds very earthbound in terms of, like, you know, this guy's comfort.
Yes, but notice how different perspectives are still using Ashrei to describe their vision of what it means to have the good life.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one. We'll go to the Dead Sea Scrolls here. Now, the Dead Sea Scrolls come from a community called the Essenes, living down by the Dead Sea. Here's what it says. Ashrei is the one with a pure heart who does not slander with his tongue. Ashrei are those who adhere to the laws of Torah and do not adhere to the distorted paths. Ashrei are those who rejoice in wisdom, who do not have outbursts of foolishness. Ashrei are those who search for wisdom with pure hands, with pure intention and action.
Integrity.
Yes. Ashrei is the one who attains wisdom and walks in the instruction or Torah of the Most High. They're using Ashrei to give a perspective on what they believe human flourishing is really looking like. So in these sources we just read, we see Ben Sira and we see Qumran community taking this Eden vision of goodness in the Hebrew Bible, and, you know, they're sort of morphing it into their context. This idea of the blessed life, and it's like, well, what would we in our world call the blessed life? Point being, Ashrei is about identifying the way of life that leads to blessing, or that is in the blessing.
That blessing that Jesus reshapes and redefines in the Sermon on the Mount.
That's excellent. It's like it's a framing word, and Jesus reframes it from, I want to say, anything anybody's ever seen before Jesus. But there's also flavors from everywhere else.
Yeah. Okay, I'm in the studio with Dan, and apparently he's got an idea.
Yes. So this is Dan Gummel, and I've been putting this episode together, and I was just thinking about how Tim and John were just saying that, you know, what would the good life version be for everybody?
Yes.
The Ashrei version. I think we should call a couple people.
Just rando call?
And... yeah, this is call random.
Okay, all right.
So
who are you going to call?
I want to call my wife, Brianne. She's at work. I have no idea if she's going to pick up.
Okay.
And I didn't tell her about this morning, but it just occurred to me.
Okay. All right. I'm going to call my friend Rick.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, just working. What's going on?
Babe, what do you think your definition of the good life is?
Of the good life?
Mm-hmm.
Just being filled with people that I love, meeting new people, traveling the world, helping people. It's all people-based.
That's great. I'm listening to all those call lights underneath you.
Oh, yeah. Of course, my patient's sleeping right now, but I would have you listen to him scream nurse a million times over and over. Nurse!
Is that a part of the good life for you?
What are you getting at? Are you taking me to Italy? Did you give me a dog?
Is that how you define the good life?
It's a really packed question. So what's going on?
Nothing. I'm just asking people for their definition of the good life.
Is somebody else listening to me right now?
Well, you're being recorded.
Oh. For what?
I might put it in a podcast. I haven't decided yet.
Okay.
Maybe I should have started with that.
No, that's okay. Maybe just cut out the part about Italy and the dog.
I think that's the best part.
Okay, dear. Well, I have to go.
Okay. Bye. I love you.
Okay. Bye. Love you.
Hello. Hello.
Rick McKinley.
What up?
Okay, so let's just say you are a guy who would describe yourself as having the good life. What does that look like?
I would say you have peace in your relationship, that you like what you do for a living.
A long time ago, I remember you saying, if you could have any job in the world, you would drive a bread truck.
Right. Totally. You just listen to podcasts, people, you show up, they're so excited. Oh my gosh, fresh bread. You love the smell of it. Go to bed without any anxiety, because like the worst thing that could happen is the bread gets burnt. Food, clothing, shelter. Maslow's pyramid of hierarchy of needs.
I'm going to let you hang up now.
Well, have a wonderful day, Michelle Jones.
Okay, Michelle, we've been talking about the word ashrei.
Ashrei, the word that you use when you want to give your opinion about who's in a blessed state.
Right. Now, Jesus uses the word makarios, which is the Greek for ashrei. And so you could translate what Jesus says as how fortunate are those who.
Or how good is life for you.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Let's say I wanted to pray for you and ask God to give blessing in your life.
Please and thank you, John.
You're welcome. Okay, in my prayer, I wouldn't use the word ashrei. I would say, O Father in heaven, Baruch Michelle.
Baruch me.
Baruch you. Yeah, Tim's going to explain to us what the word Baruch means, and we'll see that while the word Baruch is not in the Sermon on the Mount, the idea of Baruch is in there, but in a sneaky way.
Okay, let's go back to Tim as you turn your attention to the Hebrew word Baruch.
So let's pause on Ashrei. Let's talk about blessing. So Baruch is the word that you use when you want to highlight that God is the one who has brought about abundance and safety and security in someone's life.
Okay.
So people can pronounce blessing on each other. What I would say, if I were talking about you, I would say, Baruch are you by God. You are in a state of blessedness by God.
Okay.
And that's what many people think is underneath what Jesus is saying here.
Yeah.
But it's different. Here. Blessing refers to the concrete manifestations of abundance, safety, and security that come as a gift from God.
Okay.
So God is the source of all blessing. That's what Genesis 1 is about.
Yeah.
He blessed the creation and he blessed the humans.
Yeah.
God blessed the creatures saying, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. God blesses the humans, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and have exercise responsibility over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gives them the super sweet hookup
garden.
Spot. Yeah, that's way better than skateboard park. And that's called God's blessing. So blessing comes from God in the Hebrew Bible.
Okay.
Humans don't have the power to create a state of blessedness in each other's lives. Mm. That's not how you think of it. Humans can pronounce blessing on each other, but when they do that, what they're doing is praying for God.
God to do it.
To bless you.
Yeah, or exclaiming that God has done it.
That's right.
Mm.
So blessing comes from God. And when you see somebody in a state of abundance, security, you would call them Baruch, blessed.
Mm-hmm.
You are blessed by God. But that's not Ashrei. Ashrei is what happens when two people are walking by somebody who's in a blessed state, and one person wants to teach his other friend, like, what the good life is, and he'll point at the blessed ones and say, man, that person's Ashrei. I want to be like that person. Oh, how Ashrei is that person, that they are in a state of Baruch.
Okay.
Essentially, Ashrei is in the eye of the beholder. Here's Jonathan Pennington's way of putting it.
Okay.
He says, Ashrei is a description of a state of happiness or privilege or fortune that's on someone that's being observed by another, by a bystander who isn't the one providing or bringing about the blessing.
Mm.
In the Hebrew Bible, one never prays to become Ashrei.
Okay.
You would never ask to become Ashrei.
Hmm.
You ask to become blessed.
Right.
Baruch means God has given me the gift of favor and abundance, and I'm in a state of blessedness. But when I want to convince you that a certain state of blessedness is actually the good life, I use the word ashray.
Hmm.
It's a wisdom word that's aimed at persuading the listener to see that a certain way of life is the blessed ideal state. So in other words, when you call someone ashray, you're not pronouncing God's blessing on them. You're not saying a magic word that makes them enter a state of fruitfulness.
But do you do that when you say Baruch?
Yes.
Oh, what? Really?
Or at least you're praying that God will bless them. If I say, I may see. You be blessed by God, I'm praying that God will give you safety, security, and abundance.
Mm.
But if I say, ashray are you, ashray is that way of life that leads to that flourishing. They're the fortunate ones. What's unfortunate about the word blessed in the Sermon on the Mount is it makes it sound to the reader like Jesus is pronouncing God's blessing.
And so Jesus, as he gives these Beatitudes, he is not praying for the community these things.
Yeah.
He's identifying that, from my vantage point, this situation is a marker of someone who is Baruch.
Yeah, the logic of each of these sayings is Jesus is going to say, ashrei are these people, because in reality, they are the ones receiving the blessing.
So two people could be walking down the street, look at someone and go, ashrei, over there. And then you're like, yep. What's interesting here is Jesus is pointing at things that you wouldn't call ashrei.
That's right.
No one would go walk down and be like, hey, look at that guy who's like laying on the side of the road without any money. Ashrei.
Yeah, that's right.
You'd be like, correct. Absolutely not. That's the opposite. Yeah, and Jesus is saying, look at that guy. Ashrei. Yeah,
correct. And then he'll say, why? And the reason why is the blessing.
Is the blessing.
Oh. Yep. So let's just take the first one as an example. Ashrei are those who are impoverished in spirit, which, as we're going to see, means without any power or social influence. No, they're not fortunate. I don't want to be like
that's
them.
That's not a marker of the good life.
That's not.
That's not the marker of the life of God's abundance.
Why does Jesus think that their powerlessness is a desirable state of life? Because they are being given the divine blessing of the kingdom of the skies. They are the ones that receive the state of blessedness.
There's something about a state of powerlessness is the vehicle of God's kingdom blessing.
Correct. It's also the group of people that's standing in front of him.
Yeah.
Ashrei are those who grieve. What? Why is Jesus holding up that as the good life? Because they will receive the comfort that God will bring when he brings about new creation.
Mm.
That's the blessing.
The blessing.
In other words, the blessing is in the second line. Not the first time.
That's really interesting.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So the perspective's in the first line, and it's a twist.
It's a super twist.
And then the blessing is in the second line.
Yep. Ashrei are the afflicted, because they will inherit the land. What is the blessing, except for Abraham? Land.
Yeah, inherit the earth.
You get the land.
Yeah.
Yeah. The land belongs to y'all.
Jesus, on a mountain, ragtag group of people. He's saying, kingdom of God's happening through me. This is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening through you too, even though you can't see it.
That's right.
In fact, when you look at your situation, it feels like the opposite of God's kingdom coming and bringing Baruch.
Yep.
So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to reframe your situation.
Yes.
Because it's happening within you.
That's right. Yep. It's Jesus's commentary on what is happening on the ground in the actual moment he says the words.
Yeah.
Which is with a bunch of poor, impoverished, sick, powerless people. But they are the ones that he has chosen to receive first his message for Israel. Why did Jesus choose? Because they actually are the privileged ones. They're the fortunate sons. Why? Because there's a surprise coming. God's got a surprise in store. It's starting right now, and will be fulfilled when heaven and earth unite. The game's going to turn upside down. That's the function of these nine sayings. They're reversals. They're apocalyptic revealings of the upside down, or truly right side up, nature of God's kingdom and what it means to be a part of it.
You have to believe in the great reversal for this to make any sense.
You have to believe Jesus saying, the kingdom of God has come near. Mm. The logic of these nine sayings depends on Jesus's claim that he is bringing the kingdom of God as earth as it is in heaven. And the kingdom of God brings total reversal of our value systems and our estimations of who are the fortunate ones.
Yeah.
And that's the work that these nine sayings are doing.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, I should have just said that at the beginning.
Okay, everybody get all that? Who has definitions ready? So, what did Jesus mean by blessed is how we see it in the English in Matthew. So that word they brought up at the beginning, makarios, that is the Greek word that we see for blessed in Matthew chapter 5. Right? We see it over and over again. If you look it up in Strong's or in your other language reference software, research, anything, you'll see common definitions for this are blessed, happy, and fortunate. It was kind of comical this morning during Sunday school. We were talking about God's promise of blessing. Unrelated, it just happened to line up that way. Pretty funny. And we looked up the Oxford definition of blessed. And there was very similar, happy, fortunate. There was set apart and made holy. Then there was, I can't remember what the wording was, Abby, but it was
used in mild expressions of annoyance or exasperation. There wasn't a blessed thing. Anyone?
Bless your heart, right? But kind of comical when you start looking into some of those things. But here, we see this as the standard translation word in Greek that the Septuagint uses for the Hebrew of ashrei. Now, there is, obviously, that was a large topic of discussion in this podcast, another Hebrew word used for blessed or blessing, which is baruch. So what is the significance between those two words? And if the Greek shows us makarios, which is how the Septuagint translates ashrei, what does that show us about what Jesus was trying to convey? If he was trying to convey the Baruch blessing, it would have used the Greek word for that. And I did look that up, and I didn't write it down, and I can't tell you what it is. But there is a separate Greek word that the Septuagint uses for Baruch. So interesting there, when they brought up Psalm 1 and 2. So Psalm 1 starts off with, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Right? So this is that ashrei word. What did they say was the best English definition for ashrei? It was in, okay, living the what life? The good life. That is their plain English definition for ashrei. The one who is living the good life does these things that Psalm 1 lists off. Psalm 2, we see it at the very end of the chapter, kind of a different tone to Psalm 2 versus Psalm 1, but it ends with, blessed are they that put their trust in him, right? Those that place their trust in him are indeed living the good life, right? So ashrei is mentioned 45 times throughout the Hebrew Bible. The Baruch is mentioned, oh, should have written it down. Memory's failing me. I want to say it was several hundred. And I won't give you the exact number, so I'll get it wrong. Several hundred times Baruch is used versus the 45 times Asherah is used. So there's a definite difference in terminology here. 26 of those times were in Psalms, 8 were in Proverbs, and they are all pointing to the prosperity, the fortune, the good life is what it's trying to convey for us. So the other sections of this podcast were the meaning of Asherah in other Hebrew literature. We looked at Ben-Asir, I believe was his name? Yes. And his concept of, not Ecclesiastes. What did they call it? The Ecclesiasticus. Yes, thank you very much, yes. So did his use of the word Asherah match up with what Tim Mackey is trying to proclaim here and what the case they're building is for what the Bible indicates with Asherah? They were trying to give you multiple examples from other cultural and in-time resources for how they used that word regularly. I think it does. I feel like that lined up well. And then they had their bit of what is the good life, and I really chuckled when the guy called his wife unannounced. What are you doing this for? I'm recording you. Why? Okay, hon, gotta go. But it is pretty funny. So what is the good life? When we think of that, we talked about the same thing this morning. What are the markers that come to your mind? Yeah.
So I want to start off by saying I own several Life is Good t-shirts. And they have a picture on them of kayaking down the stream, or log on sitting at the campfire.
Mm-hmm. The worst thing that could happen is they burn the bread.
But, the one thing when they were, as they were talking about all this, they started quoting the other guy that wrote the history book. I realized how opinionated it was.
Mm. Hundred percent, absolutely agree, and I think you nailed it. If we were to each go around and give the number one thing that we think makes the good life, I bet you most of us would agree on a lot of things, or we'd at least have matching top fives, right? Because we all come from a similar background, a similar culture. We are obviously similar in our theological beliefs, but if we stack ourselves up with someone from a different place, of a different faith and a different age than most of us, right? There's going to be a distinct difference in answer, I would imagine. But it is very interesting. They made the comment in there that Asherah is in the eye of the beholder. So the good life depends on the person, right? Very good. So lots of things can make that up. The bread truck was a real good analogy, though. I like that. So in the last one, we see the point of what they're trying to lead us to is that Jesus is specifically using this word, and whether that was a word in Aramaic or the Asherah in Hebrew, he is conveying this specific idea of the good life. So if I wanted to request God to bless someone, like they said, I would not use the word Asherah, I would use the word Baruch. In the Bible, no one would pray to be Asherah. You would pray to be Baruch so that you can live what? The good life. So the Baruch is talking about God, provide me with blessings, meet my needs, fulfill my desires, make me fortunate in the world. Commonly, right? There's other nuances to that. The Asherah is the in the eye of the beholder concept of because, to a lot of people, because this individual has fortune and blessings of God, they're living the good life. Fair? This might help too. This was an expression I heard a lot when I was over in Israel. It was Baruch Hashem, and it means blessed be God. And it was a very common conversation way to express gratitude, as it says, to God for whatever they have. It's a common greeting, like saying, shalom or shalom aleichem, aleichem shalom, right? It was just how they spoke to express that attitude. They were thankful for the blessings that God had provided them in their life. Let's see what's on the last one. We already had that on there. I think I rewrote that twice. Ashrei are the people, are these people, because they are the ones who will receive Baruch. So going back to talking about the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, Ashrei are the poor in spirit, he is not saying they have received a blessing to be poor in spirit. They are saying, because they are this way, they are living the good life because the blessing of God is meant for them, right? Who is he talking to in this sermon? Who's his audience? I think they said it in the end there, called it out in comment. The people that were there, right? What status of people were we talking to? Poor.
Ragtag,
yes, right? Hungry, sick, worked. Right? These are not the elites of society that he is communicating with. So when he tells them, blessed are the poor in spirit, it is you who I'm talking to right now, who are poor in spirit. Ashrei, you are living the good life. Don't be defeated because the blessing of God, the kingdom of God, is what? It's theirs. Right? That blessing is meant for them. So I'm sure we have all heard that Jesus is not proclaiming the blessing of being poor in that way directly, right? But he is communicating that happy are the people, fortunate are the ones who are this way, because they're the ones that God is calling out to first and right now. In the same way with the rich man, the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, what do I have to do to have eternal life, to inherit the kingdom of God? What was the answer? Go and do what? Go and sell everything that you have and follow me. What did the rich young ruler do? Turned away how? Sadly, sorrowful, right? Why? Because he had great stuff. And to him, that was much more important than dropping that and following Jesus. So in the concept of the poor, yes, it may not feel like you have received the blessing of God at this moment, but Jesus is communicating to you, in reality you have, because you are not burdened with that trial, with that trouble to have to overcome. He is speaking directly to you right now. Your blessing, your inheritance, the abundance, the fortune is where? In heaven. It's the kingdom of God. It's not this present time. It's the time that is to come, right? Really interesting stuff. I'm sure we had that down, but understanding these words and why we see that nuance today in English, why it was formulated just that way, is very fascinating. And just having that concept of Jesus saying, the poor in spirit are living the good life, because, as we go through the Beatitudes. So I cut it off just at the end there to save a few minutes, but this was an episode all about one word, blessed, right? The next part of the series deals with the Beatitudes themselves. They're going to start going through them, and I believe they hit three for next week's lesson. So interesting stuff. If you didn't read through the Sermon on the Mount, please do that. At least look at the Beatitudes this week as we come back in. Does anyone have any other points, things that stuck out to them, questions that you'd like to discuss on blessed? All right, good deal. Well, let's close in a word of prayer this evening, and thank you for coming back and participating. Dear Lord, we are returning to you now, just grateful for the opportunity to have heard teaching on this word and these words that are used throughout the Bible and the Old Testament and the New Testament. And as we deepen our understanding and knowledge of how translations work and the cultural context in which these words were used, Lord, we just thank you so much for an age where this level of information and study is so easily accessible to all of us, and I pray that we would take advantage of it in proper ways, Lord, that we could deepen our understanding and gain the fullest sense of your word that is possible, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us and keep us straight in that pursuit, Lord, that we would not get off the path to the left or to the right, but that we would stay focused on pursuing you and growing in our faith and our walk with you. Lord, we thank you beyond all words that we are living the good life. We know we have struggles, and we know we have trials and tribulations, but Lord, we are blessed because you have offered relationship to us. You have offered salvation to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and that is truly all we need. Anything that happens throughout our lifetime from our salvation on is inconsequential in comparison with the reward that you have freely given to us, and we are so grateful for that. Father, I pray safety for everyone this week as we go forth and we have the higher temperatures and things going on. Lord, please help everyone to be wise and to stay hydrated and healthy and to return again this next Wednesday as we gather again and Pastor returns and everyone that's traveling and out and about. Please keep them safe as well. Father, we love you so much. We are so thankful to you for all the many ways you do bless us in fortunate ways each and every day. And most of all, for that living the good life truth that we are saved in Jesus right now. Pray these things in his name. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.